Revelation 14 verses 1 through 5. This is reading of God's word. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the sound of many waters and like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who have been purchased from the earth. These are the ones who have not been defiled with woman, for they have kept themselves chaste. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And no lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your grace upon your people. We thank you for your word. For it is the only thing in this whole world that tells us of Jesus Christ. It is the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, the things that we read and see in your word, they are amazing. They are beautiful. They are glorious. Because it is about Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished for us. Oh Father, we see heavenly world in your word. That we are reminded that this world is not everything. That there is another world. And Father, let us see very clearly the reality of that world that you have accomplished for your people through your word. Let us see it and be glad and rejoice because you have accomplished our eternal salvation. Oh Father, we pray that in Jesus Christ that we are able to worship you and glorify you. We thank you and we give you all the glory. Bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us continue our looking into these verses. We started looking at this passage last time. And last time we learned that the church of our Lord Jesus Christ in this world, they go through sufferings and persecutions and even death. But the Bible clearly shows that the church has another reality. Verse 1, then I looked and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. Our heavenly reality. And it is our present spiritual reality. Yes, even as we gather here to worship our God, we have arrived in heaven, spiritually, of course. We have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, is with us. Now, this is very, very important for us. Because only way for Christians to live as true Christians is that Christians must be able to see our heavenly realities. If we do not see our heavenly realities, then only thing that we see is this world. It's pretty simple. If there's no heaven, then this world is everything. Then, it is natural to live according to this world. If this is everything, then it is natural to live according to this world. But the Bible clearly teaches us that this world is not everything. In fact, this world is passing away. That God has accomplished our heavenly reality. And God is so gracious, giving us a picture of that glorious place through His Word. Jesus is with His people, all of His people. God is with men. That's the reality of heaven. And in verse 1, we see that reality already accomplished in Jesus Christ. And we have already seen this last time, so we'll move on. Verse 2, "And I heard a voice from heaven, like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps." Now, sound of many waters. In the Old Testament, whenever His prophets meet God, they hear God's voice, and it is described as sound of many waters. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 24a, "I also heard the sound of their wings like the sound of abundant waters as they went, like the voice of the Almighty." And when God appeared to His people in the Old Testament, when He came, there were always sounds of loud thunder. Well, let us go to Exodus chapter 19. This is the time when God came to His people at Mount Sinai. It's right after they went out of Egypt, they gather in Mount Sinai. Not right after, it took a long time to get there, but this is what we read in Exodus 19, verse 16. "So it came about on the third day, when it was morning, that there were thunder and lightning flashes, and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently." And do you remember Revelation chapter 4, verse 5? "Out from the throne come flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder." So John hears sound of many waters and sound of loud thunder. John hears God of power, God of holiness, God of glory, and God of judgment. But the amazing thing that we see in this verse is that unlike the Old Testament time, people are not afraid. Because in the Old Testament, when God appeared, people were trembling. They were trembling with fear. But in the Old, in the New Testament, especially in the pictures of heaven, God's people are standing right before God and yet they are not afraid. They are not fearful. In fact, in this verse, what do? We praise our God with a voice like the sound of harps. And what is the symbolism there? The complete and perfect peace between God and His people. The perfect salvation of God has been completely accomplished. All 144,000, symbolical number for all who believe, praise God with a new song, with a beautiful voice. And the picture is that they praise God with a beautiful voice, and there's no fear. Why? Because Jesus has accomplished our salvation. Before Jesus came, there are all kinds of reasons for us to fear God, because we are sinners. But after Jesus, when He died for our sins, received God's judgment in our places, and when He resurrected from the dead, clearly testifying to us that what He has done, God has accepted. There is no judgment for God's people anymore in Jesus Christ. So this is the picture of heaven that we see. God's people are standing with God, with Jesus Christ. And we're praising God with a new song. 3, and they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. Who are singing? 144,000 people. And they are described as who had been purchased from the earth. Or, according to verse 4, those who have been purchased from among men. Only the elect of God. They are singing this new song to God. Those who have been purchased from the earth, those who have been purchased from among men, clearly teaches the limited atonement. Not everyone is saved. And this symbolical number, even though it is symbolical, it points to a definite number. 144,000, not literally 144,000, but nevertheless, it points to a definite number. And what is the content of this new praise that they're singing? Well, we already saw that in chapter 5. Let us go to chapter 5 of Revelation. Let us read it again, verse 9 and 10. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. And they sang a new song. So here we see God's people singing a new song. What was the content of that song? Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. That's the content. That Jesus was slain, he died, and purchased his people from all tribes, all tongue, and people and nation. And he has made his people to be kings and priests in heaven. And with what did Jesus purchase these people? Through his death on the cross, with his precious blood, he purchased these people. Let us read a few places in the Bible that talks about this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, redeemed. This word is used, when you go buy a slave, the slave is purchased or slave is redeemed with a price. You give the price, you pay, and either slave is free, or you buy that slave to work for you. And Peter is telling us that we were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold. In the back then, that you pay with silver or gold. But you were not redeemed with these things. But you were, verse 19, but with precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you. With what did Jesus purchase you and me? With his precious blood. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? You break the law of God, you die forever. But Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus dies on the cross, a tree, if you will. So what do you see when you see Jesus dying on the cross? That he is cursed. But he did not sin. Why? He did not break any law. He lived a perfect life. Why is he cursed? Well, because of you. When he was cursed upon that cross, he bore your sins. That's why even though he's perfect, he was cursed. He died. But he died for you. So with his precious blood then, you have been purchased among men. One more place, Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. And not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. See, in the Old Testament, when men sinned, they killed an animal, but that was a foreshadow, or that was the type of the reality that is to come. Animal dying in their place pointed to Jesus dying in his people's place. That's why he was called the Lamb of God. Just like the lambs of the Old Testament who died for people's sin. So we're not redeemed with those animals' blood, but with Jesus' precious blood. Chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 10. But this will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. It's once and for all offering. In the Old Testament, those animals were offered time after time because those animals were not perfect. When perfect sacrifice is given, you do not have to repeat that again because it's perfect. Once and for all offering that Jesus has offered himself. Thus, for you and for me who are in Jesus Christ, we don't have to offer any more sacrifices. In Christ, you and I, we are able to draw near to God anytime, now and forever. But it says only the ones who are participants of this salvation is able to sing this new song to God, new praise to God. Psalm 1:5, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Sinners cannot stand in the assembly of the righteous. In heaven, when we gather to praise our God forever and ever, no non-believer will be among us. That person cannot enter. Only those who are saved by God. Psalm 144 verse 9, I will sing a new song to you, O God. Upon a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you who give salvation to kings. Only the ones who experience the true salvation of heaven are able to sing this new song. But brothers and sisters, it is our present spiritual heavenly reality. We are gathered to worship our God who has accomplished the perfect salvation for us, and we are gathered here to praise our God who saved from sin. We are praising God with new songs. Even the angels do not know of this salvation. Angels, they are not saved. There is no salvation for angels. So they do not have this salvation experience. And they cannot sing this new song from their heart because it's not their experience. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. The gospel. And he says, things into which angels long to look. See, you have to understand this. To angels who are always with God in heaven, to them, the salvation that God accomplishes, it just doesn't make any sense. Put yourself in angel's place and try to see what God is doing. Why God, Almighty, all-knowing, all-sufficient God, becomes a man to save these filthy sinners? Why would God do that? What is this thing of God dying for sinners? See, even angels, they long to look into it because it just doesn't make sense to them. Does it make sense to you? Do you wonder about the gospel? Or is it just so automatic to you? You know, you heard it so many times. Yeah, Jesus became a man. Yeah, he died for my sins. There's no wonder. No. Even angels are amazed at what has happened. And this song is for ones who are returning, who are saved from this world and sin and Satan and coming to God. And Isaiah 42 verse 10, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing His praises from the end of the earth. And it is also a victory song. Christ has triumphed over all of His enemies to save us. Psalm 18 verse 1, I love You, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Verse 4. Go back to Revelation chapter 14, verse 4. These are the ones who have not been defiled with woman, for they have kept themselves chaste. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. These have been purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Obviously, we cannot understand this verse literally. Do you remember that the book of Revelation is full of symbols, symbolical languages? So when we come to this verse 4, we will not understand literally. If we do understand literally, like some people do, then we have to understand that 144,000 are only men. So in heaven, there's only men. No daughters of God, but only men. No, that's not true. So if we understand this literally, then we have to understand that 144,000 are only men, and even that, only men without sexual experiences. So, if that is true, even men who are married, they are excluded. They're not included if you understand this literally. But no, Book of Revelation is full of symbolical languages. The spiritual reality is expressed with symbolical languages. In the Old Testament, the idolatry is expressed as spiritual adultery. So here, 144,000, the total of all who believe are contrasted with harlot of later chapters, especially chapters 17 and 18. You and I are saved as the ones who ultimately cannot be defiled by this world nor sin. That salvation that Jesus Christ accomplishes is so perfect that it's as if you have never sinned. That ultimately, that your status in Jesus Christ is as if you have never sinned. That's how perfect our salvation that Jesus has accomplished for us. Do you understand, brothers and sisters? In Jesus Christ, you and I are pure virgin bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though we're so filthy sinners, we prostitute with the world, and yet in Jesus Christ, we are pure virgin. We are pure bride. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 2. Look at what Paul says. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I betroth you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. Whenever we preach Christ, whenever we invite non-Christians to believe in Jesus Christ, what is our motivation? You could describe it in many ways, but one is that we want to present that person to Christ, the husband, as a pure virgin. This is what happens when His blood cleanses you, when His glory, His righteousness, is clothed you. This is your reality. Even though we sin every single moment of our lives, it's as if we never sinned. This is how perfect salvation, our salvation is. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. So that He might sanctify her, so that Jesus might sanctify the church, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot, no wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. Do you understand what kind of salvation has come upon you? That He saves you through His word. He cleanses you in a such a way that you are now spotless, blameless. You're perfect in Christ. And in Revelation 19, we see a heavenly picture of heavenly wedding, the wedding of the Lamb, Jesus Christ and His bride, perfect bride, getting married forever and ever. Do you understand? These are the ones who have not been defiled with woman, for they have kept themselves chaste. How do we do that? See, when you read these things and you compare yourself with these things and you go, huh? I don't look like that. I'm not like that. Well, apart from Christ, yeah, you are not like that. But understand what God is telling you. He has made you to be this kind of person, and you must believe it. And He will receive you as such person. In Jesus Christ, of course. So you understand who you are in Jesus Christ. You are pure virgin when it comes to this world and sin in Jesus Christ. And what kind of life you must live as pure virgin? Well, I don't have to tell you that. You already know. So it is when you understand and believe who you are, what kind of person that Jesus has already made you to be. If you believe it, then you are now able to witness that reality more and more in your life. It's not about your effort. It's about your faith. You must believe. Because if you try on your own strength, without faith, you just try to live a pure life, you will fail, guaranteed. You will always fail. And this is what you must understand. Christianity is not about your effort. It's about faith. You read God's word, it shows you who you are, and you believe. This is what happened to you. This is who you are in Jesus Christ. And also this points to the fact that we are God's soldiers who are engaged in His holy war. In the Old Testament, the Israelite soldiers were not permitted to have relations with women when they were engaged in wars. This explains Uriah's refusal to go to his house to his wife when commanded by the King David. Because he was in the war. We must understand our spiritual reality. We are God's soldiers who are engaged in His holy war. Now, when we say we're soldiers in God's holy war, we don't understand that in the way that some of these other religion fanatical people understand it. No. We are not about going and bombing some people, because our enemy is what? Do you remember in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12? For our struggle, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Everyone in this world, I don't care who they are, we are to preach the gospel to them. We are not to go over there and kill them. That's not the biblical holy war. Anyway, but you understand that you are a soldier. Collectively, we are an army of God. We are called to be holy. We are set apart from this world and sent to be holy people of God. We are holy virgin bride of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we must live according to that reality that our Lord has accomplished for us. We are holy army of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ is our commander in chief. We obey Him. We follow Him. That's why it says, these are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. Yes. We follow our true eternal husband. John chapter 10. I don't think that air conditioning is working. It's going and going, but I don't feel cold air at all. John chapter 10, verse 4. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. So here, our Lord is shepherd, and we are his sheep. And we follow him because we recognize his voice. If stranger calls us, we will not follow. Go down to verse 27. A It says, my sheep hears my voice and I know them and they follow me. Simple as that. God's people, if you are elect, I don't know when you will be actually visibly saved while you live here. You know, I don't know when. But if you are elect, if you are his sheep, you will hear his voice and you will follow. It always happens. Because you recognize his voice. See, this is the thing. Whenever I go and hear someone else's, like, you know, the Christian radio, I hear a sermon, and I'm not trying to criticize other preachers or anything, but just to make a point, when I hear his sermon, I realize that that is not my Father's voice. Because I know that my Father in heaven will not say those things. Because it's not according to this word that I have. So I do not follow because that is not my Father's voice. I recognize my Father's voice. But that is not. Mark chapter 8, we read this last time, but let me just read it to you. Mark chapter 8, verse 33. But turning around and seeing his disciple, he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. And he summoned the crowd with his disciple and said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We follow him all the way to heaven. We are called to live the very life that he lived. We are called to imitate him. We are called to be like him. We are also the first fruits of God. First fruits to God. We are God's. We belong to God. In the Old Testament, the first fruits, whenever harvest comes and they gather the first fruits, and all those first fruits are given to God because it belongs to God. That is our confession as we bring these first fruits to God. Not only those first fruits, but those first fruits represent the rest of the fruits. And we give it to God, confessing that everything belongs to God. Not just first fruits, but firstborn of every living being was given to God in the Old Testament. Now that's what we do when we bring our offerings to our God. Our offerings, you should not bring them after you use your money and whatever is left you bring. No, you bring it as first fruit. Because that offering that you give to God represents the rest of your wealth, rest of everything that you own. And your understanding, your faith is that everything belongs to God. You demonstrate that, you confess that by bringing those offerings as first fruits. James chapter 1, verse 18. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. Christians are first fruits of all creation. In terms of Old Testament, then we understand that first fruits belong to God. Christians, out of every man or every creation, we are the first fruits. We belong to God. That's what the Old Testament was teaching us also. But this is also God's call to be like Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus is the first fruit. And we participate in him being the first fruit to God. We are also first fruits to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, it says, But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. We are the first fruits to God. We are already offered up to God, and we must live our lives according to that reality. If you understand that you are the first fruits to God, then you understand that you are already offered up to God. You belong to God. And how you're going to live your life is according to your understanding that you are the first fruit to God. When you understand what those first fruits of the Old Testament represent, what they teach, you understand who you are. You understand what you are. You understand your spiritual reality. You're not living your life. You know, this world is all about, it's my life, leave me alone. Well, God leaves you alone then. If it is your life, go ahead, live your life. But we're not living our own life. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. We're given to God. We're offered up to God. We are the first fruits to God. We live for Him. See, living for your selfish desire is forgetting who you are. Forgetting your spiritual, eternal reality. You just don't understand who you are. And if it is non-Christian who thinks that way, then of course that's how he's going to think. But you claim to be Christian. You believe that you are the first fruits to God. And your life should reflect that understanding of yours. We are the first fruits to God and to the Lamb. We are God's possession. We are His people. And verse 5, And no lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless. Man, descriptions of us in Jesus Christ. No lie is found in our mouth. We are blameless. Satan is the father of all lies. And his biggest lie is that there is no God. His children receive his name and be like him, but we are God's children and we have received God's name and we have been recreated in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, in his mouth, there was no lie. And he was blameless. Again, when we look at our heavenly reality, when we look at how we are in heaven, we are like our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the whole purpose, for his people to be like Christ. Do you understand this? You know, you have your life. You know, you were born, you know, I don't know when. And you went to certain school. Now you are married to certain people and you have certain job. But you understand that, all the history is going towards one purpose. And that purpose is for all of God's people be like Christ. It's not about you becoming a doctor or lawyer or whatever you are striving for. That is on the side. That's temporary. But God's purpose for you is to be like Christ. At the end, that's the only thing that will be left. It's not about your worldly accomplishments, but that you are like Christ. All of God's plan that He planned even before the foundation of the universe has been completely, perfectly accomplished. In our passage, we see the complete, perfect accomplishments of all God's plans. Do you remember? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. Do you see in our passage that that is completely accomplished? Colossians chapter 1 verse 22 says, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Jude
has only one chapter, so Jude verse 24 and 25.
Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory blameless with great joy, to the one God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all times and now and forever. Amen. Who is able to make you stand in the presence of His glory blameless.
And that's exactly what Christ has accomplished for us. That in our passage, we see our heavenly reality. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ from God's Word, especially today's passage, see your heavenly reality. Who are you in Christ? You are God's people who praise God with a new song. You are who have not been defiled. Who are you? You are who have kept yourselves chaste. You follow the Lamb wherever He goes. You were purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. You do not lie. You are blameless people of God. You are blameless bride of God. You are blameless sons of God in Jesus Christ. Do you see your heavenly reality? Yes, in this world you're filthy sinners. And yes, when you look at last week how you lived, yes, you follow the world. You had evil thoughts, evil desires, yes. Even those good thoughts, according to the world, they are evil in God's sight. Yes, you are sinners, and I am too. But look at what Christ has accomplished for you. This is the whole point. And you must believe and rejoice, because what God has accomplished cannot be undone. Not even your sins can change your heavenly reality. As long as you believe Jesus Christ, this is who you are. No matter how much you show that this is what Christ has accomplished for you.
Well, then, brothers and sisters, let us live out our reality that is in Jesus Christ. Let us now and forever praise God with new songs. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Son and what He has accomplished for us.
Yes, the sight is glorious, that we are blameless, that we are spotless, we're perfect in Jesus Christ. Oh Father, let us always trust Jesus Christ, who alone has accomplished our salvation. Bless your people, God, that they may see who they are in Jesus, and that they will believe, and with that faith they would live out what is true of them now and forever. Bless your church, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.